Good morning, and welcome to the Corinthian Baptist Church radio service, where our pastor is the Reverend Dr. Jonathan B. Whitfield. At Corinthian, we strive to reach the heart of man through the preached word and song. Our messenger for today's service is Pastor Jonathan Whitfield. We now join our service in progress.
That's right. Give the choir a big hand.
Thank you.
Bow your heads with me. Lord, we honor you and appreciate you for who you are and what you do. Thank you for this opportunity that we have once again to be part of a worship experience with brothers and sisters of like minds and faith. We promote you in this season. Thank you for an opportunity to have somewhat of a build up as we go through this Yuletide scenario. Before we get to Christmas morning, it's an opportunity for us now during this Advent to just recognize exactly what you mean to us, what your coming has meant to all of mankind. Thank you for this time frame that we get to rehearse. We don't just fall into Christmas morning, we get a build up to rehearse just what it means to have a God that would love you so, that he would wrap himself up in human flesh and come down here to see about us. And then once you see exactly what's going on, you gave your life that we might have right to the tree. Thank you for this opportunity. And I pray that the sentiment of this time will infect us in such a way that it won't just bless us, but God, give us an illumination so that anybody who comes close to us can feel you in the midst of the scenario. That's my prayer for us. Pray that you'll help us promote it. In Jesus' name we pray. Can everybody say amen, 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 amen. God bless your heart. Good morning. Good morning to all of you. We thank God for you and for your coming to share with us. Welcome to the month of December. As we prepare to close out this year that God has given to us, how many of y'all are already building up for your thanks to God for this year of 2024? Ought to been a build up. Ought to be a build up. You know, sometimes we wait for the moment or the date. But I want to tell you, God is always systematically doing things for you and for I. And there ought to be a build up in you. Ought to be a build up. So right now, let your mind even think back, and I want y'all to do it. I want you to practice it when you go home. Take some time, just think back to where you were in January. Go through February and March and run through the calendar year so that you can be thankful for all that God has done in 24. And I know when it happened, you thanked him then, but tell your neighbor, it's still good now. It's still good now. It's still good now. When I was little, going to church with my mom and dad, every now and then my mama would holler out and she'd get to shouting about something that was happening in her life. And I, since I lived with her, I was looking at her. I was like, well, ain't nothing go on, you know. Nothing crazy happened in the house, but she was shouting like it was fresh, like God had just done something for her. And I remember asking her, Mama, why'd you get so happy today in church? I mean, I know praise is comely of the upright, but well, you know, you just went in like something went on. And all she said was, baby, I was thinking about 1985. Some of y'all missed that. Tap two people and say, it's still good today. Don't matter when it happened. That's what the Bible said. When I think of the goodness, don't matter when it happened and all that he has done for me. Tell your neighbor, it gets fresh. It gets fresh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yesterday, I feel like today. When you think about the goodness of the Lord. So we're not going to wait for Christmas. We're not going to wait for New Year. We're not going to wait for that date. Let it be a buildup in you as you think about all that the Lord has done and what he has blessed you with. All right. So we're in Advent season. It starts today. It's that part of the buildup. And these four subject matters are all concerning us recognizing just how important it was for the Christ child to come and what it means for us. And so I'm not going to be long today, but we're just going to introduce today. The first word is hope today. Somebody say hope. First word is hope today. We want to dive into there, talk about it a little bit. And each week we'll take one of the words of Advent and we will produce it so that even if you're playing catch up by the time you get to Christmas morning, you'd be ready to sing, you know, joy to the world. The Lord has come. Amen. God bless your heart. Let's say happy birthday to Mother Alma over there. Say happy birthday to her. How old did you make? I don't know, I don't tell women's birthdays now. Well, I'm gonna let you tell them.
I made 62 years.
There she goes. There she goes. I don't mess with women in birthdays now. I don't do that. I get in trouble. Okay, there's some things pastor does not cover. God bless your mother. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. All right, come on. Let's roll through this. Let's join me in Isaiah chapter 9. Chapter 9. While you doing that, y'all welcome my son and his fiance that's been blessing us today. Minister Chris. She's Shante here. That's her flag ministry that she has there. Thank her for sharing that with us today. Amen. Praise God for her sharing with that. She was teaching some of our young people doing that, so don't be surprised. Just tell your name. Don't mess with them. Just duck. Yeah, never mind. Throw your hand back up and praise them after you duck. All right. Let's look at these verses, chapter 9, verse 2 through verse 7 today. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. Okay, and then Romans chapter 13 says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Say amen. Theme today is just is hope. Add to Isaiah 2 through 7, that you might share in that today. Season of Advent is upon us, and as we talked about our anticipation towards it, don't anticipate without preparate. Prepare. Don't let the Christmas season, don't let it just sneak up on you. Let's act like it's important. Let's attack it with intentionality. Let's go at it as though this is something that our life depends on. Because actually it did. Have you thought, what did God see that moved him so that he would come and save us? What was it that triggered him when he looked upon his creation and he just simply decided, they're not going to make it unless I come and help them out of the situation that they're going through? That's what was on the mind of God. And in the book of Isaiah, the prophet is dealing with a desperate time in the hearts and minds of the people. And beloveds, we deal with desperate times. In and out of our days, weeks, months, and years, we deal with desperate times, desperation. It'd be wonderful if the sun just shined all the time. But we don't live in that kind of existence. We have just as much as rain that falls as we do with the sunshine. And some folks' lives, they might have claimed that the majority of the pendulum swings towards that rain falling in their lives, while some others might talk the opposite. In the midst of it, though, we have this experience that mankind created, has this experience to possibly connect with its creator. And the creator, God himself, makes it plain in this season that I won't leave you comfortless, but I love you enough to make you a priority. So much of a priority, I'll stop what I'm doing, pack up and come down and hang out with you for a while. I won't send nobody else. Don't y'all miss this. This is a scenario where God says, these are my children. So important to me that I'm not going to send anybody else. I'm going to come myself and make sure that my children can be okay. So the Advent is a buildup of that. There's a lot of theological overtones into this that needs to be unpacked over time. You can't get it in just one sermon, but the uniqueness of the fact that he comes in human form is indicative of what he came to do. He came to save humanity. And since he came came to save humanity, he structured himself like a human. Now, I know this is deep, but catch it. The deity of the eternal takes on the humanity of the temporal. He unifies himself with human flesh so that he could manifest something that would touch those who occupy the flesh. He who did not need us came because we needed him. And he orchestrates something amongst us so that you and I can make it through our difficult days and our difficult scenarios. This is what the theologians call the hypostatic union. He's 100% God, but he's also 100% man. And that's why the New Testament writer said he was tempted on all points like we are, meaning everything that we have experienced, he experienced it. And he overcame every temptation so you and I can overcome our temptations. So therefore, when we cry out to him, we don't cry out to a God who does not know how we feel. But he knows exactly what it feels like going through what you go through. So I need to help somebody here, and I need to tell you, whatever you're going through is real. And you got a real God who understands real feelings. So don't you let anybody tell you that what you're feeling is not worth it. I came here to free you and tell you it's worth it. It's so worth it that God came from heaven down just to save a wretch like you and me. And everything that you're going through, every ache, every pain, every frustration that you're going through, God wants to hear about it. I don't care who doesn't understand you or who doesn't get you. God gets you. God gets you. He came in the corporate that he might handle the individual. Came to get you. Because what bothers you doesn't bother everybody else. What you're able to get through, everybody else can't. He gets you. Gets you. So the idea of hope is so that we could run to him with some sense of confidence. Confidence in who he is and why he came. Hope is a confident expectation in God fulfilling his yet-to-be-fulfilled promises. Confident expectation in God to fill his yet-to-be-filled promises. One more time. I don't care if y'all don't get nothing else. I need you to take this piece home with you. This is what hope is. Hope is your confident expectation in God to fill his yet to be filled promises. If you got it, somebody say, I got it, Pastor. I need y'all to go home with that. Because the Advent is to remind us of this kind of hope that we're putting in God through his love that has been remedied and in reality through Jesus the Christ. Confident expectation. Now, we deal with the problem, and we've already alluded to this. And hope becomes very elusive to us because of what we deal with in this world that we exist in. It's very easy to do what might be called lose hope or not hold on to hope. It's very easy. It's very easy because of the overshadowing that comes upon us of those pains, of those frustrations. How about injustices? How about things that make you afraid? Or fears or anxieties of your of the tomorrows, broken relationships that happen, specifically those that are close to you that you thought were ironclad, but yet something happens and the relationship doesn't go forth. Unmet expectations that have already happened, promises unfulfilled. Crises that are amongst us in the midst of our living each and every day. It's hard to turn on the news channels. It's getting harder and harder and harder to watch the news. And I know they try to interject some good stuff, but I'm here to tell you, it ain't enough good stuff being interjected. Global crises and things that are around us, as well as our local crises, our national existences, all of these things overshadow us. And it can mess up your dreams. The thoughts that you had for your future, thoughts that you had for your children, and the plans that you have for your tomorrows, it can get messed up because of the overshadowing of these things that come within the midst of our lives. And it can leave even the believer in a hopeless state of existence. And this is why I want to challenge you today. I'm only going to preach for a few more minutes, but this is a simple challenge. This is why you and I have to take on our stance through the biblical written word of God. To take on this attitude of confidence in our God. This is one of our high time frames or seasons of the year. I don't care who else has a December celebration. Nobody should be more expiatory than you and I, than the Christian believer. Because this is one of our high moments. Because we can talk about with confidence our belief structure in a God who loves us so that he'll come down and see about us. I don't care who else has a holiday or a celebration. I don't mind other folks celebrating, but don't try to take away my reason. I'm confident in what I'm doing during this season. This is my pride season right here. Do I got any believers who are prideful? See, now you got your words all mixed up. Y'all think I'm talking about somebody else. I'm prideful because of what I believe in. And I can put pride and confidence in the fact that the Lord loves me. And he loves me enough to come see about me. That's what I'm excited about. So that's why I never call Christmas Xmas. Because I never want to X him out of what's going on. If this is going to be a Christian type of holiday, it needs to express what it's supposed to express. And for me, it's the Christ that's in the Christmas. It's the Christ that's in the Christmas. And because Christ is in the Christmas, I don't care about the other socialized scenarios that come. Because it doesn't matter whether I put a tree up in my house, because I celebrate trees all year long. It doesn't matter whether I put a present underneath the tree, because I show my family that I love them all year long. It doesn't matter about all those other scenarios. On this holiday, the first thing that's on my agenda is making sure I lift the Savior up. I wish I had a witness in here. I said, I lift the Savior up. I said, I lift the Savior up. I said, I lift the Savior up. Yo. I said, this ain't no deep stuff in here. I said, I lift the Savior up till he speaks from eternity. He said, if I've been lifted up from the earth, then I'll draw all men unto me. He'll draw every other nation. He'll draw every other kindred. He'll draw every other holiday. If you do your job, he'll do his job. If we lift him up. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I got hope in him. And say it understanding that hope means you got confident expectation in God fulfilling what he has not done yet. So that means I got confidence in my tomorrows. Come on, somebody. Here's the push. It's a simple push. It's a real simple formula. It's about dealing with the past, understanding your present so you can move to your future. Some of y'all was taught that in school. It's a good formula. Tell your neighbor, it's a good formula. It's a good formula. It's the same formula that the scripture is using, because the only way we're going to meet this challenge is to make sure we're centered on Christ. So hope tells you and I we got to take a look back. Simply take a look back. Look back. We've been singing about it all worship service. You've been expressing it in your worship and your praise. Your simple look back is a look back over your life. It's not about somebody else's life. It's your life. Look back over your life and identify where God has already been. Go back over your life. Express it. I've already gave you this point. You already ought to be shouting on this one. I already told you that my mama goes back to 1985. Every time she gets low in her spirit, low in her hope, she runs back to 1985 and say, there he is. I wish I had somebody catch me here. If any time you missing him, go back in your life and find where he is. Hallelujah. Hope needs to be rejuvenated somehow. Because sometime when hope is slipping out of your hand, it's never slipping out of his hand. He's always put something in your life where you can go back and find him. Go back and find him and put him back in the place where he belongs, because he is the Savior that has rescued. He's the Savior that has delivered. He's the Savior that has kept you. He's the Savior that has strengthened you. And you have to go back and find him so you can rejuvenate your testimony and say, if he done it before, he'll do it again. I wish you high five two people and say, ain't nothing deep there. That's exactly what it is. If he did it before, he can do it again. Christmas ain't new. It's the same old story. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. If he done it before, he'll do it again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now hit somebody and say, this is a crescendo, which means it's a buildup. Once you look back in your past helps you identify your present. Tell your neighbor that past God is my right now God. See, y'all ought to be running around the church already. Some of y'all ran it too far. I said right now. He woke you up this morning. Started you on your way. Food on your table. Clothes in your closet. Gas in your car. I wish somebody holler say right now. I hear that old song say, the Lord is blessing me right now. I don't need yesterday, and I don't need tomorrow. Right now, he's doing enough for me to lose my mind. Right now, it's enough for me to wave my hands. Right now, it's enough for me to clap those hands. Right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody need to shout because he's present in your life right now, working it out for you right now, holding you right now, keeping you right now. And that's why, in spite of the frustration, in spite of the headaches, in spite of the heartaches, I still got joy. Hallelujah. In spite of all that you're going through, I still got joy. In spite of the frustrations, I still got joy, because I know if I can't hold on to him, he's gonna hold on to me. And as long as God got me, I don't have to wait till tomorrow. I can shout right now. I can shout right now. I can shout right now. I'm almost finished, but can I give you this? Before I go to the last one, because some of y'all waiting for the future. Let me give you a secret about hope. Hope is not just about the future, but it's really deeply rooted in your present. Listen to me, y'all. You don't get till tomorrow until you learn to live today. Good God Almighty. I wish you high five somebody and say, I'm living today. I got joy today. I got strength today. I'm not waiting for tomorrow. I'm good right now. Hallelujah. 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 Hug somebody, say, neighbor. Just in case I don't make it till tomorrow, I want you to be able to say, the last thing you saw me doing was waving my hand, giving God glory, giving him a shout, giving him a praise. Today, yeah, today. Yeah, yeah, today. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Can't you hear that song? Every day is a day of thanksgiving. God's been so good to me. Every day, he's blessing me. So why don't you take a moment and have a today shout and glorify the Lord today. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I praise your name. Hallelujah. Thank you for waking me up. Hallelujah. Thank you for keeping me. Thank you for strengthening me. Thank you for giving me another opportunity today. Okay. Hallelujah. Anybody already caught where we're going? And you got a hope in this presence. Here's the last piece. Here's the future. The reason you and I have to grab hope today is not so we can get something tomorrow, but it's so we can help somebody else's tomorrow. Some of y'all should have been shouting because you know somebody who needs a new hope, a new life, a new joy. You know somebody who's not making it through. Somebody that's going through life godless. Here's the challenge. Here's the challenge, and we out of here. Here's the challenge. We who have a God of the past because of what he's done and can acknowledge him in our present and can operate knowing God's got a hold of us. Now we testify. Don't you let this season go away without you sharing your hope with somebody else. Revelations promised us there's a time frame coming where there'll be no more crying. That's why we got hope for the future. There'll be no more dying. There'll be no more frustration. Revelation promised that at the end of this ordeal, all those things will be gone. They'll be gone. That's the enthusiasm for the believer. That all we got to do is just keep on going. God's got some things in his control and in his hand. Catch this. Some things that have not been fulfilled yet. But because they haven't been fulfilled yet means they're coming. They're coming. They're coming. So the tension is, you and I live. Say this, then we're going to pray. We live in between. We live in between the already and the not yet. That's where you at. We live between what he already has done and what he hasn't done yet. Come on, somebody. And Romans says to help us in the in-between, here it is, we have the Holy Spirit who now lives in us and works through us that we might live and do and breathe and exist and go. So while we're in between, the already and the not yet, our job is to proclaim our hope I hope. So here's where it gets confident. When you go home and you live with the attitude, I'm good. I'm good. Knowing most stuff is coming. More overshadowing is coming because that's part of living in between. But because you belong to God, God belongs to you. This God who looks at you and he has given an example that when it gets too tough, I'll come down and check you out personally. You already have that. He already did that. Y'all do believe he did that, right? Tell your name, he already did that. He already came down personally to handle this. And if you know the story, when he left, he said these words, I will send you another comforter. In the Greek, it means one just like what you had. So that means everything Jesus did, the Holy Ghost is able to do as well. Is that helping somebody there? Somebody say, thank you for my comforter, God. Thank you for my comforter who operates in my life just like the Savior did. So we make it between this in-between time with hope, based upon what's already happened and what we believe is going to happen. And that's what we express. So I want you to join me in testifying this season. Don't let Christmas go by without the Christian voice being heard or shared, because there are people who are living hopelessly. And don't get bogged down debating people's beliefs. There's enough people out there who need Christ and want him that you'll never get to arguing with a Muslim brother. Because y'all trying to debate whose God is better. And both of y'all are wrong because we're talking about the same God. Just don't know it yet, you know how that goes. But that's a trick as well. For us to feel like we're getting won over on somebody. Just because we try to proclaim what we believe is better than what somebody else believes. Where there's a brother or sister out there hurting, who really just wants to know that the Lord loves me. And you can't get to that person because you're so busy over here. Don't get sidetracked. There's some love that just simply needs to be shared, that we can bring hope to folks who are living in hopeless situations. All right, y'all got it today? We good? We good? All right, come on, let's stand again. Let's stand. Gotta go to the table. Join the neighbor's hand. I just want to simply pray for us today. Lord, we ask your blessings upon us as we enter into this.
Thank you for joining us for our weekly radio broadcast from the Corinthian Baptist Church. We hope something was said that will encourage you throughout the week and also encourage you to tune in next Sunday. If you have the opportunity, we would love to see you in person each Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Corinthian is located at 814 School Street in Des Moines.